Ephesians 4:9. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Ephesians 4:29. Before we begin, we know that it takes the Spirit to understand spiritual things, so to ensure that we are in fellowship, we'll take a moment and come before God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Lord, we are grateful for the things that occurred in our lives that enabled us to be here today, Lord, the many blessings and provisions you've given us to ensure that we can receive your word. Lord, we ask that during this time of instruction that there is no distractions, Lord, that you focus our minds, that you impart the message that you intend for us to receive. And all these things we ask in thy name, amen. So the message today is going to be about resting in faith. It's something that is always on my mind because it is extremely difficult to do. The verse I chose to go with is Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, surpassing all understanding, will guard the hearts of you and the minds of you in Christ Jesus. So the word that we're going to focus on here is phroreisi, which is the future active indicative, third person singular of phoreo. And the word phoreo means to guard. And when I looked up its usage, how it's used throughout the scripture, it's used as in a military guard. And I started thinking about that because I know the military fairly well. And I started thinking about guard duty. And thank God, most of my guard duty was quiet and boring and dull. So I started to apply my humanity to that word, and it dulled the verse for me. But then I realized, I took a step back, and I realized God doesn't get bored. God doesn't get tired. He doesn't relax at the job. He stands strong, knowing before we do where we're going to be and when we'll need him. And it's that peace of mind. It's that peace of mind that will guard our hearts and guard our minds in Christ Jesus. As I was developing this message, I was thinking about my experience in the military, because it's hard not to. It's what I did for a long time. And started thinking about an analogy about formations. So I can't pronounce the word, but the German word for first sergeant means father of the unit. So the father is in charge of the body of soldiers. The body of soldiers stand rank and file, ready to receive the orders and carry them out. And when you're standing there waiting to receive these orders, there's various positions you can be placed at. You can be at attention, and attention is where you're upright and straight and you're ready to go. If you're going to be there for a while, they'll probably put you at parade rest, where you still can't really move, but at least you can balance yourself on both legs. Then there's a stand at ease and at ease. Both are a little bit more relaxed, and you can look at the person who's giving you these orders. But then we get to rest, which is where we're talking about today. And rest is really interesting in the military. If you have food on you, if you have drink or cigarettes, that's where you can talk to each other, eat, drink, and you are at rest. It's where you are expecting you aren't expecting any action. Formations used to be how battles were fought. The entire battle was fought in a formation. So the unit that could best maneuver and stay in that formation would usually win the day. So at rest meant that you weren't expecting anything going on. It's the most difficult to come out of, because you have to stow away whatever it was you were eating or drinking. You have to, not finish conversation because you stop it right there. But what's interesting about rest, the rest position, is your right foot cannot move. It's that right foot that keeps you in fellowship with that unit. It keeps you rooted and ready to go. No matter what you're doing, when it's time to go, that right foot keeps you right where you need to be. So I thought it was really interesting that for the German word for first sergeant, you're receiving the commands from the Father. And as long as you stay right where you're told to, everything's going to be okay. So we're getting into resting in faith. And we're going to start with inner perfect peace. So in the Bible, we are told that we are royal family and joint heirs with Christ. So what this means that... I'm going to do my best not to get nervous and get confuddled here. So, joint heirs with Christ. The blessings and the provisions that Christ had on this earth when he was empowered by the Holy Spirit, we have in this age of grace. We are powered by the same power. So we see this in Romans 8:17, which says, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." So the rest throughout in the scripture, this peace, this inner peace that we're called to have is called rest. And this isn't to be confused with the rest on the Sabbath. This is a moment-by-moment inner peace that we're called to have. It is a faith-based rest. It's through faith that we find salvation. We are saved through placing our belief and faith in God that he died and paid the price for our sins. And it's that faith that our sins are paid for in which we find salvation. And if God was willing to do that for us when we were his enemies, when we were unbelievers, when we had yet to accept that salvation, God took care of our eternity. That block is checked. Through that faith, we don't have to be concerned with where we're going when we die. And it's interesting. I'll get to that in a bit. Don't get ahead of myself. So why would God not then desire the best for his children? If he took care of the big thing, if he took care of our eternity, why then is it so difficult for us to accept that he's going to take care of our day-to-day trials? And it's baffling to me because I have no problem accepting that my salvation is eternal, that has been met. And yet when it comes down to, oh no, are the bills going to get paid? Or how do I deal with this aggressive person at work? It's difficult for me to have the same faith that I have in eternity. If God is going to take care of the big things, why then would he not also take care of the tiny, minuscule things that plague us throughout the day? So this rest is meant to be a moment-by-moment rest. It's a place of blessings and power in the middle of adversities of life. Inner perfect peace does not mean there will be no trials. Turn to Romans 5, 3, and 4. Where it says, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that the sufferings produce perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us." In dealing with these trials, it's where we grow to maturity. It's where we learn to have faith in that peace that, okay, I was dealing with this problem and it was dealt with. And through that repetition, through that trust, we see that it's all going to be dealt with if we just sit back and allow it. Through God, there is hope for everyone. Belief in Christ for the unbeliever. For those that don't believe, they have that salvation if they just have the faith. For the doctrine, the hope comes, I mean, for the believer, the hope comes through doctrine. Everything we will need to get through every aspect of our life can be found in here. God knew everything that you were going to be dealing with before you even took your first breath. He was prepared for the problems that you will face before you even knew that you would face them. The trials we face allow us to rely on God and grow in maturity. So, how do we achieve this peace? And it's through God's promises. The Bible is filled with hundreds of promises that God has made to man, and it's these we can cling to in a time of weakness. These can be like a mantra, a thing to hold on to, something to cling to, a rope in a storm when you're drowning at sea. It's that buoy that you can hold on to and trust that God has promised you. And God is infallible. God does not lie. In times when you might think that he's not there for you, it's important to remember that it's never a problem with the transmitter. It's a problem with the receiver. Like, as I said before, all the information we need to face the trials that we will face in life can be found into Scripture. And to illustrate that, 1 Peter 3 and 4. His divine power was given us everything we need for life, and the godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. I don't know about you, but to me that is extremely comforting, to know that the greatest power in heaven and earth has promised us, has made oaths with us, certain things that we can cling to. That, so it being Father's Day, I was thinking of being a father and my father, and how as my kids get older, I'm getting to get to the point where, you know, I realize I only have 3 years and 4 years left with them. And as a father, I want to do things for them and take care of them and make sure they are as happy as they can be. But because of our circumstance, I know that they're going to leave me. They're going to go off on their own, and they're going to start their own families. And so sometimes when they come to me as they've gotten older and said, "Dad, can you do this?" And I'll say, "No, I think you got this one. I think you can do this." And it is extremely comforting that the Father isn't like that. He will never leave us. We will always be His children who He wants to take care of, that He wants the best for. And as long as you put your faith in that, the things we go through, the trials, if we understand that they're there for a reason, that God knew we were going to be facing them, and He thought that we should, which means there's something in there for us. It takes the bite out of the problem. It's extremely difficult when, I'll use the analogy of the storm again, it's really difficult when you're in that storm, you're clinging to a buoy and the waves are crashing over you. It's hard to imagine dry land. It's hard to imagine that you'll ever not be in that situation. But that's because your perspective is there in the water. You don't see it as God sees it. God knows the way out He has in store for you. God knows how you will be saved from this and how you will grow from it. And it's holding on to that that allows these issues, these adversities that we deal with to help us to mature. So before you believe the promise, you must know the promise. Before you know the promise, you have to learn the promise. This requires fellowship with the Holy Spirit and dutiful studying. You're going to get your point of view from somewhere. It's going to come from what you surround yourself with. There's the old adage that there's two wolves in everybody, the wolf of hate and the wolf of love, and the son asks his grandfather, which wolf wins, and he says, the one you feed. So we can choose to be surrounded by the world and take in worldly doctrine that will fail us because it is not infallible, it does not come from God. Or we can choose to daily study the Word, learn these promises that we're meant to cling to, learn the guidance God has in our lives to best be prepared for when those trials come. I didn't mean to print double-sided, so this is a bit confusing to me. So, casting your worries to Him. All right, be occupied with the Lord. This verse here, when it talks about being occupied, it means the Hebrew word means dwell on. Keep your thoughts on God, because when you're not, they're focused on the world, and the world will drag you down. So by keeping your thoughts on God, by casting your worries to Him, helps keep you centered and helps keep you in faith. Commit your problems to God in faith. Going back to Peter here, Peter 5:7. Cast all of your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. And man, how peaceful is that? God cares for you. He cares about what you're going through every day. He doesn't want you to suffer. He doesn't want you to suffer. So the suffering that you're going through, those trials, those adversities, they're there for a reason. He wouldn't be putting you through them if they wouldn't then benefit you, because He cares for you. Don't take those problems back up. So it is very, very easy just to say, all right, God, I'm going through this and I can't do it. So here, please take these problems for me. And you're good for a few minutes. And then something occurs to you and you say, oh, wait, God, give that back. I have an idea. And you try that idea and, of course, it fails. And, okay, sorry, God, here, I didn't mean to. Take this back, please. And he will because he cares for us and loves us. And eventually, inevitably, you'll take it back and you'll keep dwelling on it. You'll keep being anxious. Even though you've given it to him and it's now God's problem, you keep taking it from him and dwelling on it. And that anxiety, that stress, it isn't good. Pastor covered stress and anger for a while. And that's what keeping on to these problems builds in us. It builds that resentment. It builds the anger. It colors our interactions with other people, which in turn affects our ministry. If we're fretting and wringing our hands and mashing that panic button, we don't seem like believers who trust that God has good in store for us. We're showing those around us that, yeah, we might proclaim God's got it, but when we're actually tested, when that faith is put to the test, we crumble. So what faith-based rest looks like? Number one is that it's a continuous process. When it said, be occupied with the Lord, dwell on him, keep your mind focused on the only anchor in this world, the only surety, the only thing that you can bank on 100% of the time is God's promises and God. So it's a continuous process. Pray unceasingly when you're dealing with this stress. When you're dealing with that stress, cling to the one thing that can save you. It's not relying on your own works. Like I said, quit taking the problems you give to God back. Relaxed mental attitude. Once you've prayed that prayer, once you've told God, I can't handle this, rest. Just believe what he's promised you and let him play it out. The story's already been told. We're just living it. He knew how it was going to end before it ever began. And this is evoked through prayer. As I read in 1 Peter 5:7, cast your anxieties on the Lord. Pray. Tell him that you're suffering. Tell him that you're struggling and you don't think you can do it. And when you give it up, rest in faith. Trust in the fact that he intends the best for you and doesn't want you to be that way. So, faith-based rest is a three-step process. One is pick a promise. So I included my favorite and Snow's favorite. Her favorite is Jeremiah 29:11, which is, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come pray to me, and I will listen to you. So in everything that we're suffering through, all the problems that we face throughout the day, it's not to harm us. It's there to prosper us. And my favorite is, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That's my mantra. When times get tough, I just keep telling myself that this will work together for the good, that what's happening is happening for a reason. So think on that. Think of what the verse that you have picked means. And I have a couple of others to share. There are hundreds within the scripture, so this is just a select few. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Deuteronomy 31:6. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Psalm 16:8. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Much like a child when you're walking along and they're learning to take their first steps, you're holding their hand because you know they will fall. But when they do, they won't hit the ground. It's that connection with the Father that keeps us grounded. So that when you are facing those problems, you aren't hurled headlong. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide you the way of escape also, that you are able to endure it. That these promises, I can see why these promises should be the mantra, because we know that the Word of God is infallible. To know that everything we're tempting, we can beat. We have, through the Word, through the Holy Spirit, we have what is necessary to overcome this. The reason is important to hold on to these scriptures. It's important to remember that when Christ was on this earth and Satan was testing him, how did he respond? He quoted scripture. Christ himself relied on the Word of God. So if it's good enough for Christ. So when you're facing these temptations, having the faith that you can get through them because you were meant to. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. So those are just a few of the promises about the Bible. There are many more, and I urge you to find your own to hold on to. Think on what it means when you're feeling like mashing that panic button. Despite the anxiety and fear and depression that you may be going through, God remains in control if you let him. It's really easy to ask him to step off that throne and let you drive for a while, but we are nowhere near as good of drivers as the Lord. So next is apply a doctrinal rationale. So this comes from the works of Colonel Thieme at the Baraka Church. And the works of doctrinal rationale, one is the logistical grace rationale. That God is faithful in his care for you. That God, as we've said before, doesn't want you to come to harm. So apply that rationale when you're going through this. That he cares for the best for you, and trust that the best is what you're getting. Even though it might not look it to you through your horizontal viewpoint, from the vertical, you are being benefited through it. Another rationale is the plan of God. That you are part of God's plan. That what is happening to you is important for the good of the kingdom. That through your suffering you will learn a lesson to be used down the line, or someone will see you going through what you're going through and take inspiration. Another rationale is the essence of God rationale. Focus on the attributes of God, God's nature that guarantees his promises. Take faith that God cannot lie, that God would not lie to you, and that the things he says, the words he's given, are true and solid and stone. And then finally, come to that doctrinal conclusion. And to me, this is best summarized in Romans 8:31. And of course, I took out my Romans placeholder. It's a short verse, but it's powerful. There we go. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is with us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God gave up his own son for us. God sent his own son to suffer and die on the cross. And again, in his humanity, in the Garden of Gethsemane, even Jesus said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He didn't want to suffer in his humanity. He didn't want to go through what he did, but he said, but your will be done. If it is your intention for me to suffer, it's for the good of the kingdom. It's for a purpose, and I accept that. That is the attitude we should all have when dealing with these trials. Instead of collapsing under the weight of them, accepting that you're there for a reason, you're going through it for a reason, it'll benefit you, it'll benefit the kingdom, and take faith in that. finished a little fast, but please bow. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the trials that we go through. We thank you for trusting enough in us to think that we can handle the things that go throughout our lives. We thank you for the provisions you give us to see our way through it. Lord, we ask for, when we're faced with those situations, that you bring our mind directly to you, Lord. You bring our mind directly to these promises, that the weight will be lifted from our shoulders when we place our faith in you, because you did not intend for us a mind of anxiety or depression, that you wanted a mind in us, like Christ, of perfect peace. Lord, we trust in you in all things. We thank you for sending your Son to the cross for our sins, that when we were still your enemies, you thought enough of us for our eternal salvation. Lord, we trust in you in all things. Amen.